Well, our sermon text for this morning is from 1 John chapter 3, but we are also going to be looking at Revelation chapter 7. And so if you want to stick your thumb or a finger in one, and we're going to be kind of going back and forth a couple times to those two sections, 1 John 3 and Revelation 7. But I'm going to read 1 John 3 passage once more. So this is the word of the Lord. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank You for Your word, and we pray that Your Holy Spirit work in our hearts to humble us and to show us Your great love. And may we believe in Your Son, Jesus, and receive all of these great gifts. In His name we pray. Amen. Today the title of my message is Children of God. And as we look at this text, I want to break it down into three portions. First of all, see the Father's love. Secondly, why the world does not know us. And third, what we are and what we will be. First of all, see the Father's love. In verse 1 of 1 John 3, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." You know, I don't know if you think about this idea of us being children of God very often. We call ourselves Christians. We identify ourselves as His people. But even if you do think of yourself as a child of God, it's good for us to dwell on this thought for a moment, and more than a moment, to consider what this really means for us. You know, one of the thoughts that comes to my mind very strongly is why would I get to be called a child of God? You know, I don't deserve to be called a child of God. None of us do. And if we were to look at Titus chapter 3, we would hear this: "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." You know, we were not always children of God. We were born as His enemies, those who were against Him. But listen to how Titus continues in Titus 3:4. "But even though we were His enemies, we were regularly and habitually sinning against Him and against one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of our works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us so richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And so we have been taken from being enemies of God and being offered this position of being a child of God, to become an heir of all things, to be a brother of Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to be called a child of God. As we think about being a child, being adopted into His family, because that really is the picture, that we were these enemies of His. We were somebody else's children of the devil, really, following His way and bearing His fruits, right? But we were adopted into the family of God. You know, there was a really sad story that came out this week that a man had in India, northern India, had lost his child. And he had brought his child to bury this little baby. And he was digging the grave for this child of his, and he heard crying from the grave. And he thought for a moment that his child had come back to life. But he recognized that something else was going on here. He saw a pot. And inside this pot was a blanket. And inside this blanket was a little baby that had been buried alive. This child had been born premature and was a little girl and was rejected. In a lot of places in our world, children are rejected either because they are not healthy or because sometimes because they're a girl. Somebody wants to have a male child, an heir. And think about this really sad situation. What an amazing thing, though, that he found this child alive. They brought the child to the hospital, really sick, many problems, but actually a local politician and his wife have been paying for this child to receive medical care, and they want to adopt this little baby who is doing better now and recovering. But what a picture of going from the grave to being loved and cared for in a family. I want to explore this thought a little bit more because we don't think like God thinks. The worldly mindset is so different from our God. Think about a pound or all these animals that need homes. Which ones get adopted? It's usually the healthy ones, the really nice ones that'll be great pets, right? More importantly, think about all of the orphans around our world. There are so many children that need to be adopted, so many that are unwanted, that are being killed even before they're born. There are so many that are rejected, left on doorsteps or behind dumpsters or buried in graves, so many that are in foster care and needing a home. And when you take a closer look at this, you notice that there's a pattern too. Because not only are there many that just need a home, but especially those with special needs. You know, if somebody does actually have the notion to go out and adopt, oftentimes they say, think about this, you might even be tend to go this way. If I'm going to go look for one, I'd want to go and pick out a really healthy baby. How about let's get one who had really great parents, because you know I want my child to grow up and be a model, a really beautiful child, healthy and fit. You know what would be really great is if my child could be a such great quality that they would one day be a doctor, or maybe a professional athlete. That would be really great. A powerful speaker that could become a politician and could bring great honor and fame to my family. Somebody who could make a lot of money and take care of me in my old age, so I can retire easily. Right? What, you know, even when we do something like adoption, oftentimes we would do it with selfish motivations, and we would reject anybody who has major health problems, spina bifida, or they're paralyzed, or they have a cleft palate, or they're a girl, or any number of things. Or even if they have behavioral issues, well, I don't want a kid that's already been spoiled and that tends to be naughty or violent, right? Thank God he doesn't think like us sinful human beings, because we were the ones with a terrible disease, cursed with death and corrupt. We are the ones that have behavioral issues, are prone to violence and acting out and disobeying. And it was, well, we were like this, that God loved us. And he gave up his perfect son who could do anything. He gave up his son who was a doctor, the great physician. He gave up his son who could walk on water, who could perform any number of miracles. He gave up his perfect one and only son for us, a wretched mess with behavioral issues. He loves us. He adopted us. He made a way for us to become a part of his family. He does it through baptism, where he puts his name on us. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is put on each and every one of us. And we are now called Christian, child of God. A full adoption into his family. You could think of your baptismal certificate as your adoption papers. Isn't that a cool idea? Now you are heirs of all things. You own heaven and all the riches of God because you are his child. You are citizens of heaven. You do not belong to this world. You now have your citizenship with God in heaven. You have all of the benefits of being a part of his family now. You are under his protection, under his care. He provides for your food, your daily needs. And ultimately, he is bringing us home. Jesus right now is preparing a home for us in heaven. Isn't that amazing? He's bringing us all home. What a beautiful picture. What an astounding love that God has for us, even though we do not deserve it in any way. Next thing that I want to look at here is why the world does not know us. It says, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. At the end of verse 1. It did not know him. You know, there is a problem with this. The world doesn't recognize us. If you talk to people from this world, they do not respect Christians and what we're about. We are the despised of the world. In academia, they tell us that we're stupid. They tell us that we're fools to believe that God created all of these things. They tell us that we're believing in fairy tales. That we're giving in to the stories of men. Around the world, Christians are persecuted, rejected, bullied, and despised. If you really boldly stand on God's word, stubbornly clinging to what he says, and if you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will be despised, rejected, and not recognized, not known by people of this world. They will not acknowledge you and what you believe. Test it out. Live for God and share his word, and you will experience this. But we shouldn't be surprised by this. This should not cause us to doubt God and his goodness or his plan. You see, the world also rejected Jesus. It did not know him. And our Lord Jesus was crucified by the very people that he came to save. They did not acknowledge him as Savior and God, with some exceptions. But by and large, the people of earth rejected Jesus. But one day, this is some good news for you. One day, you will be acknowledged, not by the world, but by the one that really matters, the one person that we want to acknowledge us. And now, if you would look with me at Revelation 7, I want to point out verse 3. It says, and the picture here is on the final day. There's four angels that are sent to hold back these winds that are going to destroy the earth. They're in the north, south, east, and west. And there's another angel making sure that these four angels hold back destruction, because God is going to mark everyone who belongs to him. He's going to put a sign on them, it says. This is what this one angel says to the other four angels. Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And God is going to publicly acknowledge everyone who believes in him, who is his child. And he's going to set them apart. He's protecting them. What a wonderful thing it is. And so as you experience the rejection of this world, do not be surprised. Do not doubt God, but think of Jesus who was rejected first, and for whom you are rejected. And remember, hold on, thinking of that day when you will be acknowledged, not by the world, but by God himself. And so lastly now, what we are and what we will be. It says now that we are called, we're back in 1 John here, now we are called children of God. Isn't that an amazing thing? Did you know that you, children of God, right now have heaven and all of its riches? You are going to experience it more fully one day, and it will be fully realized. But right now, you are members of heaven. Right now, you are children of God. But there are some things that, again, are not yet. So what is it that is still yet to be? That we will be like him. You know, right now, still, even as Christians, we are not like Jesus. We struggle with this sinful flesh. We are still struggling with death. We give in to temptations. We fail on a daily basis. But one day, believers, we will be like Jesus. We will be pure and we will no longer struggle with sin and temptation. A really cool thought here is that Jesus has kept his body. You know, he took on an earthly body when he came here to die, but he also took on a body again, a resurrected body, like the one that we will have one day. And he will keep that forever, so that forever he can be our brother. And we will be the same. Isn't it a wonderful picture of the love of Jesus and the fellowship that we have with him? And this can be your future as well, if you have not already been called one of his children. It says, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. There is no one restricted from this. One last time, flip back to Revelation. And in the last part of this passage, there is a beautiful picture of all of the believers, all of those who are saved in their white robes, a picture of purity. They have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And when God looks at them, he sees that they are totally pure. But this picture is also one where the people who are represented here are from every tribe, nation, and tongue. You know what? There is no race that is excluded from this. There is no social status that is excluded from this. We know that God cares for the poor and the humble. There is no particular language or culture that is shown preference. But God is offering this to every single one of you and every single one of your neighbors to trust in Jesus, that you may be forgiven of all of your sins, that you may be adopted, going from a sick, unlovable orphan with behavioral issues, being adopted into the family of God. May this be your future as well. Put your trust in Jesus and look forward to that day. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this encouraging message, and we pray that you'd help us to believe it. You love us so much, and it's astounding. It doesn't make any sense because we don't deserve it. But we thank you for loving us, for giving up your perfect Son for us orphans, and adopting us into your family. We look forward to that day when we will be recognized by you, welcomed in, clothed in white robes, being like Jesus, struggling no more with sin and death and temptation, welcomed into the home of God to live as your servants and as your brothers for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.